We're holding Pei Gimel Amud Bei is the Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of if you sell item A, is item B included or not, which we've been dealing with throughout the previous perek and this perek up till here. So the Mishnah finishes off with some more examples. Hamocha Rosh Behema Gasa, if a person sells the head of a large animal, and we could be talking about it either way. We could be talking about that he's selling it while the animal is alive. The deal is when I shech this animal, then I'm going to give you the head. Or it could be Bepashtos that we're talking about also after it's shechted and they're dividing and he's selling him a piece. So he sells him the head of a behema gasa, loy mocher saraglaim. He hasn't automatically sold the feet together with it. Obviously, it depends on makom shenagu. The point of it is, the point why the Mishnah needs to mention that is because further on it's going to mention that by behema daka, by small animals, sheep and goats, those things do tend to go together. The idea being, bepashtus, is that the head doesn't have very much meat on it. So therefore you sell it together with the leg, which has more meat on it. In fact, you have a section of the leg of an animal, the lowest section of the leg, is called in halacha akuba hanim keres imarosh, which means the joint that's sold together with the head, because very often that's how they would do it. They would have, you're buying the head, then I'll throw in this joint of meat as well, so that way at least they have a decent amount of meat. Mocher saraglaim, mocher sarosh, and vice versa. If he sells from a behema gasa the legs, then he hasn't automatically sold him the head. Similarly, mocher sarakone, if he sold him the kone. Now kone, the literal meaning of kone is a reed. The Rashbam says it refers to the lungs, and it's called kone because the lungs are attached to the windpipe, which is also called kone in Lashon Kodesh. So if he sells the lungs together with the windpipe, loy mocher es hakoved, he hasn't automatically sold the liver together with it. Again, when it comes to a behema daka, those things would tend to go together, but not with a behema gasa. Mocher es hakoved, loy mocher es hakone, and vice versa. If he sells him the liver, he hasn't automatically sold him the lungs. Tosfos also adds that kone would include not just the lungs and the windpipe, but also Tosfos says also the heart, which then brings Tosfos to wonder, so what about if you do sell them separately? If you sell the heart, does that automatically include the lungs since they go together, or maybe not? Aval Badaka, but when it comes to a small animal, a sheep or a goat, because those are smaller and therefore you have less meat on each one, then yes, Macher Tarosh, Macher Tarwaim, if you sell the head, then automatically with it go the feet, depending on Makam Shinago, of course, but by default, that's how it is. Macher Tarwaim, like Macher Tarosh, but vice versa, if he, even with a behemoth daka, if he sells the feet, he hasn't automatically sold the head together with him. In other words, when you're selling the head with a behemoth daka, it's usually understood that the feet go along with it, but the reverse is not true. Possible to sell, but it's common enough to sell the feet by themselves without selling the head, and therefore you can't say that the head is automatically included. Similarly, with a behema daka, mocher tzakona, mocher tzakovid, if he sold the lungs and the windpipe, then automatically with it he sold also the liver, but mocher tzakovid, like mocher tzakona, but if he sold the liver, he hasn't automatically sold the lungs together with it. So in all these cases, the idea is sometimes you have an ikker and a tuffel. If you sell the ikker, then the tuffel goes along with it, but not the other way around. Okay. Now, from here until the end of the perek, the Gemara is going to be dealing with other dinim of Mekach or Memker. Now that we've been going through, you sell item A, is item B included or not? So now, from here till the end of the perek, it's going to go through and talk about various other dinim in terms of buying and selling. So the Mishnah says, Ira Midis Mamochrin, there are four basic rules that apply to sales in terms of the dinim of Einah. Now, we talked all about the dinim of Einah back in Bava Metzia, but here we're going to have a supplement and talk about more dinim of them. That Ashbam points out, usually when we have a number in a Mishnah, it's usually meant as a miut, only these but no others. Here it doesn't really mean to be mamayat anything else. It's just because we're going to have to explain why each one of these cases has a different din, therefore the Mishnah gives us the number. So the first case is Mochle Chitin Yafes Venimtzu Rois. If Reuven sells Shimon wheat with the understanding that it's good wheat and it turns out to be bad meat. So we don't mean bad as in unusable. We mean just like lower quality meat, lower quality wheat. Now, it's not considered a mekach tos. If it was a mekach tos, then they would either, one, be able to back out of the sale, and that's that. Here we're not dealing with that it's a mekach tos. We're just dealing with a matter of a no. So now, the point the Mishnah is going to make, the point the Mishnah is making, which the Gemara is going to expand on, is assuming that the amount of difference is enough to trigger the dinim of Aina, only the Lekeach, so the Mishnah says, Lekeach Yochalachsabai, Halakeach Yochalachsabai, the buyer is the one who's able to change his mind. Meaning, as we're going to see in the Gemara, even if, now you could have after after the sale has gone through, or while they're in the process of finalizing the sale, the price of wheat has gone up. And now the seller says, you know what? Forget about the deal. Why should I sell to you? Let me sell to somebody else at the new higher price. He wouldn't be able to do that because he, to begin with, committed aina by overcharging, and therefore he's not now able to benefit from that aina to void the sale and to sell it to somebody else. But Lekeach, if he wants, is able to get the sale voided because there was aina enough to trigger bittul mekach. Enough to trigger where he's able to say that I want to avoid the sale and I'll go buy from somebody else. So the point is that the Rashbam develops this point that the point of the Mishnah is that the Mercher, so as the Gemara is going to give us an example. So let's say, for example, the wheat is supposed to be worth 5 because it's Rois, it's poor quality wheat. Instead, he sold it to him for 6, which is enough to trigger the dinim of Aina, because now you have the overcharge of 1/6. Later on, before the sale is finalized, the price of wheat now goes up, and the same amount of wheat would cost 8. So the point is, the moicher can't say, well, you know what, I'm sorry, let's avoid the sale, and now I'll take my wheat and I'll go find somebody else to buy it for 8. No, we don't say that, because at the time of the sale, the one who was wronged with aina was the buyer, and therefore he can say, you don't have the right to take advantage of the fact that you acted wrongly and you did aina to now go and void the sale unilaterally from your side and to go sell it to somebody else. I have the unilateral right to do so because I'm the one who had the aina done to me. The Rashbam also adds, now in Bava Metzia we learned that we actually had a Mishnah about that over there, and we said that really no, when you have a difference of 1/6, you don't automatically say bittul mekach. You say kono machzor aina. There is a kid, the kinyan is valid, however the seller has to refund the aina. So the difference is over here, though, that Rashbam says, given that over here it is a different quality of wheat than what he expected to get. It's not only a matter of aina that he overcharged him. It's also that the wheat is poorer quality. Then yes, the halacha would be that in this case he would in fact have the right to bittul mekach unilaterally if he wants to. So in other words, so again, had it been that it was supposed to be chitim yafos, and it turned out to be chitim yafos, then yes, we would say in a case where the overcharge is 1/6, he doesn't have the right to bittul mekach. All he has the right to is a refund of the overcharge. But here, where the Rashbam learned, where in addition it's also a different quality of wheat than he was supposed to, then he is in fact entitled to bittul mekach. Tosfos discusses that and says that not necessarily do we have to say that. It's also possible to it might also be Tosfos says that it really would work to say that kono machzoina even in our case over here because the point is that Rashbam makes a point that the Gemara there in Bava Metzia says that there are two different opinions on the subject. There's Rebbe and there's Reb Nosson, and the Mishnah over there goes like Rebbe and the Halacha is like Reb Nosson, but over here it's different because not only was there aina, but there was also a different quality. There was also a different quality of wheat. Yeah, so as I said, Tosfos discusses this point and says that it doesn't necessarily really have to be a contradiction of Mishnayos. Because there's a difference between Bar Kochai and so forth. Anyway, a number of Rishonim actually talk about that the case of On Mishnah would actually be talking about where only money changed hands yet and the Kinyan hadn't actually taken place yet. So that would be the case where the Mishnah is saying that that the Lekeach at this point has the right to back out of the deal, but the Moicher wouldn't because he having wronged the other guy doesn't get the benefit from that.
Are we saying that every time there's a quality issue, then there's consideration for the toolmaker?
Well, so what we're saying is, so according to the Rashbam, the vote is because you have here both. You have the amount that triggers the dinim of Aina, an overcharge of 1/6, plus you have a difference in quality. So that's the Rashbam is saying, even though usually Rava says in the Gemara and Bava Metzia that usually with an overcharge of 1/6, all you have the right to is to a refund of the overcharge. But here, because there's also a matter of quality, then you also have the ability for Bitul Mekach, but only you, the Lekeach, because again, you're the one who was wrong. What Tosfos is saying, and basically is they argue with the Rashbam on that, is they're saying that in this case, it's not even a matter of that machloikas in the Gemara over there between Rava versus Rav Chista, where Rav Chista says over there that he doesn't have the right to, that he always has the right to Bitul Mekach. So our Gemara would go according to that. Also, you don't have to say that it's only, you don't have to say that that it fits only with Rava's or only with Rav Chista's explanation. And then again, as I said, there will be Shonim who learn that the cases of our Mishnah, well, we're going to have Rav Chista and our Gemara as well. The point is, other Rishonim say that we are talking, bringing from Rabbi Hai Goin, that we're talking about over here where money changed hands and they haven't completed the Mekach yet. So it's a question who can back out of the deal without having to take on the curse of Mishapara.
What's the halacha?
The halacha is that when you have an overcharge of 1/6, then you have exactly 1/6, then you only have the right to Bitul Mekach, then you only have the right to get reimbursed, but when it's more than 1/6, you have the right to void the whole deal. But here we're saying something else again that Ashbam is pointing out. You have not just the regular thing. You have done not just the regular thing of Aina. You also have that. You also have the fact that there's a different quality than you expected to get. So that would result in a different din than you would otherwise have.
Is it specific just to this case, or is it?
Well, we're saying in general, anytime you have a difference in quality that you didn't expect. So that's what we're saying. In other words, so like this, we're talking about it was supposed to be Yofos, and now it's Royce, where objectively it's a different quality.
And then, therefore, what's the consequence?
That's the thing. The Mishnah is saying that the Lekeach is able to void the deal. It was an overcharge of exactly 1/6, and usually that would only be Kono Machzoina. There has been a valid Kinyan, and he can't back out of the deal completely, but he is entitled to the overcharge. But here it's different because there's also a difference in quality. So again, the Rashbam is learning that Rava, who says in the Gemara in Bava Metzia that you only have the right to that you only have that in that case usually you only have the right to a refund of the overcharge. The Rashbam learns he would necessarily argue with Rav Chista, who's going to say in our Gemara over here that he's entitled to actually back out of the deal completely. So the Rashbam learns that they're arguing. Tosfos says they're not necessarily arguing. Okay, continuing. Royce v'nimtzu yofos. The other way around, if the understanding was that the wheat was bad quality and it turned out to be good quality, then it's the other way around. And he didn't pay as much for it as he was supposed to. Moicher yochalaks abo. Then it would be the moicher who's able to void the deal because now the einar was on him. Royce, Vinimtsu Royce, what happens if the wheat was, if the understanding was to begin with that it was bad wheat, the Nimtsu Royce, and sure enough, it turned out to be bad, Yofis, Vinimtsu Yofis, or it was good wheat and it turned out to be good, Ein Echadmem Yocholachsaboy, then neither one is able to, neither one is able to change his mind because all there was fine. There was enough of a difference to be, oh no, but not enough to trigger bittul mekach. The Gemara is going to point out you have a pasuk that uses the expression ra yomer hakoina, which means a person goes and buys something. He's apt to say, you know what, this is bad. He's apt to talk down the value of the quality of the merchandise a little bit in order to get a better deal. So therefore he can't. So therefore we can't say that when I said so you would think the buyer maybe could say when I said I'm in the market for Royce, I didn't mean that really I wanted bad quality. All I meant was I'm trying to talk down the price. Nevertheless, the fact is you said you wanted Royce and you received Royce. So therefore we don't say that if there's a difference of 1/6 that we can void the sale, the most we can do for you because you were overcharged is kono machzoina, that you're entitled to a refund. But I'm adding another point, by the way. I mean, within Royce themselves and within Yofis themselves, you have different qualities. So you could have, for example, where you have a quality, you have a general category of Royce, and within that, you have better and worse. So you would say, well, I didn't mean this quality of Royce. Nevertheless, we still say it's basically a binary thing. There's Royce and there's Yofis. And therefore, and you asked for Royce, and what you received is Royce. So therefore, that's it. The sale has gone through, and you can't void it. But if there was a no, then you're entitled to a refund of the overcharge. Again, according to the Rishonim, who learned that the situation with all of this is that only money had changed hands. The point is, in the earlier case of the Mishnah, where he expected Yofis and got Royce, he'd be entitled at that point to void the sale without having to get Mishapara. Whereas over here, we would say, you want to void the sale, fine. I mean, look, only money has changed hands yet. There hasn't been a Kinyan, but you're going to have to accept Mishapara if you want to do that. So that would be when it's basically the same quality as he expected. Neither one can change his mind. Continues the Mishnah. On the other hand, but if the deal was, it's not a matter of quality, good versus bad, but the deal was that he expects to get reddish wheat, and instead he gave him white wheat. Lavona v'nimtzis shchamtis. So the other way around, he asked for white wheat and he was delivered brown or reddish wheat. Shchamtis. You have like the expression by Yaakov's sheep. You have the ones that were chum. You have the sheep that were spotted and speckled and banded and so forth. And then you have the ones that were chum, which mean in modern Hebrew chum means brown, but basically that's what it means, reddish or brown or something like that. And Targum translates it shtochum. So shchamtis means a reddish or brownish color. So here, if the deal was that he expected to be getting brown wheat, and instead he got white, or vice versa, or etzim shel zayis v'nimtzu shel shikma, or the deal was that he was supposed to be buying olive wood, and instead he received shikma wood, or shel shikma v'nimtzu shel zayis, or the other way around, it was supposed to be shikma wood, and he received olive wood, Yain v'nimtza chomet, chomet v'nimtza yain, or it was supposed to be wine and instead he gave him vinegar, or vice versa. Shneim yicholim lachta behen, either one is able to renege on the deal and to get a refund and get back his merchandise, because here it's not a matter of, now here it is a matter of mekach tos. When it's a matter of just quality, good versus bad, then we're saying we don't want to allow the mocher, because he did ayna, to also profit from that, and therefore be able to void the sale unilaterally when the, like, at a point when the lekeach would say, you know what, I'm willing to just live with the fact that I bought something at a higher price. But over here, we're talking about it's an actual wrong item, and therefore either one of them can say that I want to back out of the deal. Now, when it comes to wine and vinegar, that Ashbam points out, don't think that that's a case of Yofis and Royce, because the fact is, even though, of course, vinegar is spoiled wine, so you could call it Royce relative to wine, but on the other hand, the fact is, sometimes people want wine, sometimes people want vinegar, and therefore each one has a use of its own, so it's really more similar to red wheat versus white. Okay, so the Gemara says, So now, suppose that Reuven sold Shimon something which was supposed to be worth five, and he sold it to him for six. So that's enough to trigger the dinim of Aina. I mean, to be exact, we learned in Bava Metzia, you had a couple of different possible ways of calculating calculating the percentage of Aina, but here we're following one of those opinions. So that's what would so so we're talking about a case where he sold it to him in a way that would trigger the dinim of Onah, where now on the face of it, he's entitled to just a refund of, well, that's the thing. So Rava had said that he's entitled over to a refund of the overcharge. Rav Chisda is talking over here about Bitul Mekach, which is why the Rashbam said before that apparently Rava and Rav Chisda are arguing, although again, Tosfos says that maybe not. The hook of Omad of Shmoina. Now what happens is before the sale is finalized, before the sale is finalized, now according to the Rashbam that we're talking about where Meshicha and everything has actually taken place, then we would have to be talking about, we learned in Bava Metzia, that even after you've bought the thing, you have the right to apply the dinim of Aina ad kadesh yara l'tago l'kroivoy during the amount of time that it would take you to show a merchant or your relative, and they can tell you that you were overcharged. So in other words, the point is, even though Meshicha had already taken place and therefore the kinyan's already been done, but he still has that grace period to find out whether there was Aina. So we're talking about within that grace period, according to the other Rishonim, who say that we're talking about where only money had changed hands over here, then we talk about that Meshicha hadn't taken place over here. Anyway, what happens is before that final period is over, then now the price goes up and now the thing is worth eight. So the moicher would want to say, you know what, I want to avoid the sale. I want to get my thing back. I'll give you back your six that you paid, and I'll find somebody else who'll now buy it from me for eight. So Rav Chisda points out, minus Anna, who was the one who was cheated, who was the one who ended up paying too much, lekeach, because he paid six for something that should have been worth five. Therefore, lekeach yochel lach seboi v'loy moicher. Therefore, only the lekeach can change his mind, not the moicher. Meaning, in other words, that we're going to say, like we said before, the lekeach can say, look, you did Aina, that doesn't give you the right now to profit off of that, and therefore to be able to void the sale on your own without me agreeing to it. So I would still, now that the prices are at eight, I would rather just stick with this thing that I bought at six and have done with it, rather than void the sale, and I myself am going to have to find somebody to buy it from eight for eight. So that would be the case where only the lekeach can change his mind, not the moicher. So lekeach yochalachsav v'loy moicher mishum de omale, and the logic is, Rav Chisda says, he can say ilu loy einisan, if you hadn't done aina to me in the first place, and the sale would have been fully valid, loy matis hadras bach, you wouldn't have been able to change your mind, and if the price goes up later, you would have had to say to yourself, okay, too bad, I jumped the gun and sold it too early. If I had waited a little longer, I could have sold it for eight. Hashtadai nisan, now that you committed a na against me and you sold it for six when it should have been worth five, matis hadras bach, you're going to think that now you're able to change your mind? No, it's called loy yehei choyte nisker. We can't have that you who did something wrong by committing aina, that you should now be able to profit from that and be able to use that as an excuse to void the sale. In fact, Tosfos wonders, well, in that case, wouldn't the same thing apply even if the overcharge was more than 1/6, where everybody agrees there is bitul mekach? So why can't he say the same thing? So Tosfos discusses a couple of possibilities. First of all, when there's an overcharge of 1/6, it's so far apart that the sale is really never going to stand under those conditions. You sold something at such an inflated price, the sale is really not going to stand, so you can't really call that there was a sale at all. And then actually Tosfos says, brings from the Rivam, that no, in fact, when we talk about bitul mekach in cases like that, where it was more than 1/6, is in fact... you don't always say that there's bitul mekach automatically. When the one who was cheated is saying, I want you to give back my Einar, then you can talk about Bittul Mekach. So now he's saying, I want my extra amount back. The Moicher instead can say, you know what, never mind that. Let me just avoid the whole sale. But in other words, you can have the case where Shimon, the buyer, is saying, you know what, it's true, you overcharged me more than 1/6. I should have the right to Bittul Mekach, but you know what, I don't want to exercise that right. Fine, I'm willing to be Moichel on that extra amount. That would be when the Gemara is saying over here that the Moicher does not have the unilateral right to say that I want to avoid the sale. Because again, that would be Choyter Nisker. And continues Rav Chisda, the Tona Tuna. Well, the Gemara is explaining on behalf of Rav Chisda, the Tona Tuna, and in fact, our Mishnah teaches basically this din. Yofus v'nimtzu rois, the case where he bought wheat that was supposed to be good and it turned out to be bad. Loikeach yochalach v'loi moicher, only the loikeach can back out of the deal, not the moicher. So we see, in other words, that because he was the one who was wronged by the einar, he's the one who has the right to avoid the sale, but not the other one. And similarly, now the question is going to be, the Gemara is going to ask in that case, why does Rav Chisda need to tell us that? Isn't that exactly what the Mishnah is saying? But first, we're going to go through the other half of Rav Chisda's din and show how it's also reflected in the Mishnah. In fact, Tosfos points out, in the Mishnah, we're not even talking about that there was an overcharge as far as money. There was we're talking about, he did actually sell him at the correct price for that kind of thing, but nevertheless, because it was the wrong quality, then therefore he does have the right to change his mind, but only he. So for Amar of Chista, similarly, Rav Chista says, if there was something that was supposed to be worth 6, and instead he sold it for only 5, where now the owner, now the one who was wronged by the owner is the seller, but who's the Umdu al Shalosh? And after time, the price went down, and now the thing is worth only 3. Really, Tosfos says it could have said 4, but that would also be enough for Bittul Mekach. But because before we talked about where it went up by 2 units from 6 to 8, then now we talk about where it went down by 2 units from 6 to 4. But yeah, from 5 to 3 rather. But yeah, the same din would be also if it went down from 5 to 4. Anyway, so then the other way around, Minis Ana, who was the one who was wronged, Moicher. So therefore, Moicher, Yocholach, the boy, below the Keach. It would be the Moicher who would be able to change his mind and void the sale, not the Lekeach. The same idea. The Amalei can tell him, Ilo Loya Nisan, if you had not been Ma'ana me, if you had not committed a Na on me by buying this for a price well below what it was supposed to, fully 1/6 less than it was supposed to. If it hadn't been for that, Loy Habamotis Hadrikbach, you wouldn't have been able to back out of the deal because Meshicha has already been done and there was enough time already to check on the matter of Einar, or because we're talking about that only the money had changed hands yet, then there would be Mishapara involved. Hashta Motis Hadrikbach, now you want to change your mind because you're saying now that the prices have gone down, I can buy the same thing more cheaply someplace else. The fact is, you committed Einar, you shouldn't be profiting off that. And again, Vatona Tuna, and our Mishnah again reflects that point because it says Rois v'nimtzu yafos, where it says where the understanding was that the wheat was bad and then it turned out to be better quality, Moicher yochalach v'le lekeach, then the Moicher was able to change his mind, not the lekeach. So both parts of Rav Chisda's din are reflected in the Mishnah. Well, the Gemara asks, "My Kamash Malon, Masnis, and he." Well, then, what is Rav Chisda's Chiddush? Isn't it that it is reflected so closely in the Mishnah that it's just basically restating what the Mishnah says? So, what's Rav Chisda's Chiddush? And the answer is, even Masnis, if we only had the Mishnah, have Amina, Dilma, did Rav Chisda Tavayu Motzi Hadri Behu, because the difference might be that in Rav Chisda's cases, maybe in fact we would have said, if we only had the Mishnah, maybe in Rav Chisda's cases where the prices afterwards went up or went down, maybe either one of them could back out of the deal. Or Masnissin, as far as the Mishnah, the Ha Asalashmin, and the Mishnah wants to tell us the Lekeach Yochalach, the boy that the Lekeach is able to change his mind, the Sakodai the Chamina, because you would think to say that's the gears that we have in front of us in the Gemara. Agoy Sabach brings a long explanation and says that the gears that we have over here So the gives that we have over here would fit more with Tosfos' explanation that Ashbam would have a somewhat different gives. So take out this line, Ha'atalashminan, and just say Masnissin High Timer, the reason behind our Mishnah, Hainu Timer, the reason behind the din of our Mishnah is because we're not talking about in our Mishnah where there was an Einar as far as the price, just as far as the quality. And you would think like this. In the case of our Mishnah, only the reason why in our Mishnah only one of them can change his mind because Mishum Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk that expresses the idea. Ra Yoimer Hakoyne, the buyer says bad, bad, meaning in other words, when a person is going and buying something, then he tends to talk down the quality of it to say because he wants to get a cheaper price. So in other words, maybe you would say if you only had the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah is there's not a difference in price. It was sold for the fair market value, but now he's saying, you know what, it's Royce, and I expected Yofos, so that would be the case where he's able to change his mind and back out of the deal. And then if the Moicher says that I want to, then the Lekeach can say no, because from my point of view, it's not really a Taurus. You want to say you want to back out of the deal, I could take the view. From my point of view, it's not really a Taurus, because to begin with, when I was speaking of Royce, I meant that I'm talking down the quality of it. So for example, so now the Moicher is going to say, you know what, I sold you instead of Royce, I sold you Yofos, so now I want to back out of the deal. Then the Lekeach can say, you know what, I said Royce because that's how a buyer talks, not that I genuinely expected Royce, and therefore you don't have the right to back out of the deal. But in other words, the Mishnah would not necessarily address Rav Chista's case, where it's not only a matter of quality, but also a matter that he charged him too much or too little. So we wouldn't necessarily know Rav Chista's din from the Mishnah. So the Rashbam says that's how Rashi explained this piece. Then the Rashbam says himself that a bit of a different explanation. He says, listen, the seller can say, the seller can say, look, you know, I sold you. You know what? It's not only ra ra yoimer hakoneh, it's not only the buyer tends to talk down the value of the merchandise, the seller also tends to talk up the value of it. Just like the pasuk says, ra ra yoimer hakoneh, you have the flip side of it also, toiv toiv yoimer hamocher. The seller tends to talk up the value of his merchandise and make it look a little better than it really is. So again, the idea would be, so he could say, when I said that I'm selling you Yofos and it turned out to be Royce, not necessarily would that be a reason, the Moicher can say, for you, Lekeach, to be able to change your mind because, yes, it's Royce, but on the other hand, you should have realized when I'm saying Yofos, then it means that it's a little inflated relative to what it really is. So now, in other words, when it turns out that they really are Yofos, so now when it turns out that they're Royce, then maybe we would say that it's not really considered that I misled you. But again, when it comes to Rav Chista's din, where you also have a difference in price, then we would say that we can talk about it's not a matter of ra ra yomer hakoina. Because you don't know the actual value of it until, as we learned in Bava Metzia, you show it to a merchant or to your relative, and he tells you you were overcharged or something. So that's not a matter of ra ra yoimer hakoneh. He didn't know at the time that he's buying it for more than it's supposed to be worth. If he had known, he wouldn't have paid extra for it. So again, Rav Chista's din is different than the case of the Mishnah, and therefore Rav Chista does have a chiddush what to tell us. So that's according to the Rashbam in these two explanations. Tosfos further discusses it that in Rav Chista's case, either one of them, you could say according to Rav Chista, there could be a case where either one of them could back out of the deal. As opposed to in the Mishnah, where only one of them could, because the Mishnah is talking about where the prices haven't changed, and it's only a matter of Royce versus Yofos, where Rav Chista is also bringing in the point about the change in prices as well. The point is, in other words, Rav Chisda's din is expanding on the din of the Mishnah, but it's not exactly the same thing, and therefore he did have to say it. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said Shchamtis v'nimtzis levana chola. Now, the Mishnah had contrasted where it's rois versus yofetz, which are different qualities, where it is the item that he was expected to get, just a different quality of it, versus the Mishnah had contrasted that with where the wheat is actually a different type. It was supposed to be white wheat, and now it's brown wheat, or vice versa, where either one, shnei micholam lachzabahen, either one can back out of the deal, because now it's a matter of mekach tos. So the Gemara is going to focus on this word shchamtis, where again, we said the word shchamtis means reddish or brownish, but we're also relating the word shchamtis to the word chama. The word chama means the sun, and shchamtis therefore means something that has to do with the color of the sun. So Omer HaPapa, Midikotoni Levona, since the Mishnah is contrasting shchamtis with white, and shchamtis means sun-colored, therefore, shmamino. We see from that, hai shimsha tumachti. We see from that the sun, in and of itself, is red in color. And therefore, we can call a reddish thing shchamtis. Heda, in fact, Rav Papa goes on to say, you can know that in reality, the sun is, you're going to say that the sun, we usually think of the sun as being white or yellow or a much lighter color, but Rav Papa says, Heda, you can see, you can see that in the morning and in the evening, when the sun is rising and setting, it looks red. So that's the essential color of the sun, says Rav Papa. The fact that you don't see it as red during the rest of the day is nehodin hu delay bari, because our vision is not sharp enough, because it's so bright that the color of the sun looks washed out to our eyes. But when the sun is rising and setting, and it's basically dark, then you're able to see the true color of the sun. What would be the nafkamina of it? Why is Rav Papa telling us this point? Tosfos brings, what about if a person makes a neder not to have benefit from anything red? So a lot of times when we talk about what's the definition of something that's relevant as far as nedarim, so here it is. A person says, I'm not going to have benefit from anything red. So now we have to know, says Rav Papa, that his neder is going to include that he's not going to benefit from sunlight. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, though, I have a contradiction. How can you tell me that the sun is essentially red? We learn in connection with the dinim of Tzaraath, the Pasuk describes a white spot of Tzaraath, Umar Ehu Omot Mina'ur, that the appearance of the Tzaraath is deep relative to the rest of the skin, means Kemare Chama Mukam Minatzel, means like the way that an area of sunlight sometimes looks deeper than the shaded area near it. The Hossam Lovanahu, and they are by definition Tzaraas is white. So you see on the face of it that sunlight is white. So the Gemara says no. Kemare chama v'loy kemare chama. What it means is the appearance of the Tzaraas in a way is like the sunlight, but in a way not. Not exclusively like the sunlight, but kamare chama da amukam enatzel, namely, again, sometimes the sunny area looks deeper than the shaded area, and that's what it is over here in terms of its appearance relative to the rest of the skin. V'loy kamare chama, but we don't mean it's completely like sunlight. V'lohosam lovan v'hocha adon, because taras is white, whereas here we're talking about that the sun itself is red. Now, to be sure, Mephoshim point out, the Gemara could have given a much simpler answer. The sun itself is red, but when it shines on a wall or something like that, then the area, the patch of sunlight that you see is white. The fact is that Ritva says that, yeah, to begin with, the Braisa is not talking so much about the color of it. It's talking about the depth perception of it, and therefore the Gemara didn't bother giving that answer because it doesn't really matter. The point still is that the Braisa is not addressing the color of the sun, and we're justified, as Rav Papa is saying, in saying that the sun is red. we could after all say that the sun itself is red. But the Gemara asks, well, my the solika dait in Meikra. But now let's go back to the Papa. What did we do? We were asking on Rav Papa from this Braisa and thinking that the sun is white on the basis of that this Braisa compares the compares sunlight to Tzaraas. So you're answering, the answer is that the Braisa is not addressing the color of the sun at all. But when the Makshin asks question and was assuming that sunlight is in fact white, what was he even thinking to ask? The fact is, true, the sun looks red in the morning and in the evening. Why didn't the Makshin think to himself, well, automatically, yeah, that shows that that's the true color of the sun, and not even bother asking from the case of Tzaraas? The answer is, it's not that the Makshin thought that the sun is in fact white, but Safra the Khalfa Abe Vaudi to Gan Eden. Every morning when the sun rises, it passes in front of the roses of Gan Eden, because Gan Eden is towards the east. Tosfos discusses that a little bit. There's a big discussion among Rishonim when we talk about Gan Eden. Are we talking about a physical place on earth? Now, on the face of it, it has to be. Adam and Chava were physical creatures, and they were in Gan Eden until they were kicked out of it. So, in fact, the Ramban on the Psukim says just that. Gan Eden is a place on earth, and then we just don't know where it is. Various other Mephoshim after him talk about it, especially nowadays that pretty much the whole globe has been explored. What exactly that means, Ben Yehoyada on our Gemara has a long discussion of it, and he says that the Alderach, like we're going to have in a couple of weeks, about the Oren in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where Mokem Oren Edim in Amida, that it was there physically, but yet it didn't take up space. The Derech Nes, he says Gan Eden is something like that also. It's physical and not physical. At the same time, it's part of our earth, but it's not something that's detectable by map makers or satellites or what have you. Anyway, the point is that we're saying that Gan Eden is towards the east. So every morning when the sun rises, it passes in front of Gan Eden and it reflects off the roses over there, and therefore it looks red. Or Bapanya in the evening, the Chalfa Pischa de Gehenim, it's passing by the entrance of Gehenim, and therefore it reflects off the fires of Gehenim, and it also looks red. So the Makshin assumed that the sun itself is white or yellowish or light in color, and just that during the morning and evening you're seeing those reflections from Gan Eden and Gehenim respectively. The Ikadamri Ipka, others say the other way around, that it's not a matter of it passing in front of them, but a matter of it reflecting their color from across the sky. So according to that way of looking at it, in the morning, the sun is rising in the east, and you have Gehenim is opposite in the west, and therefore it reflects across the sky to it, and therefore it looks red, and vice versa. When it's setting, then it looks red because it's reflecting off Gan Eden. Either way, maybe one point the Gemara is making over here is that the Eibishter made it every morning and every evening as you watch the sun rise or set. You have a reminder for yourself. There is a Gan Eden and there is a Gehenim, and therefore be careful that day and that night that you do what you're supposed to, so you come to the one and stay away from the other. But in any case, so the Gemara is concluding that in fact the Rav Papa is saying you can say the sun is actually red, but you can also say that the sun in and of itself is white or yellow, but that it's red in the morning and the evening because it reflects off these respective things. Maybe one way of looking at it also is, do we look at the sun as an example of Hashem's chesed or gvura? If we look at it as chesed, and men we often do, we associate it with Shem Avaya, which is the name of chesed and rachmim, then we would say that it itself is white, which is the color of chesed, and it only reflects the red of Gan Eden and Gehenim respectively, as opposed to if you say that the sun itself represents gvura, then you would say that it itself is red. Anyway, again, the point was, that was why the Mishnah uses the word shchamtis for reddish wheat, because it means, in other words, as Rav Papa is saying, that the sun is actually red, or at least it looks red certain times of day. Okay. We said in the... So again, Tosfos deals with the question. There were various midrashim that seem to place Gan Eden not in the east, but rather in some other direction. But Tosfos says no. It means that those midrashim also can be understood that it's in the east. But then there's an area even further east of it, for example, where Adam and Chava were kicked out to, and afterwards where Cain was going and wandering. Okay. Next, the Mishnah said Yayin v'nimtza chaymetz shnei yicholim lachta behen. We said an example was where you sold wine and it turned out to be vinegar. Either one can back out of the deal afterwards because again it was a mekach toos. So the Gemara says lema masnisin Rebbe hivaloi rabbanon. Would we have to say that our Mishnah is only according to Rebbe and not according to the Chachamim? Namely, according to Rebbe, we would say that wine and vinegar are considered the same min. So therefore, it would be like rois and yafos as far as the wheat. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Yayin v'choymet min echadu, wine and vinegar are considered one species as far as truma and maaser, so that if you have a batch of wine and you also have a batch of vinegar and you were to take truma from one on behalf of the other, it would work. Another example that Rashbam says where it's relevant to know that they're one species would be as far as the concept of moida of moida mimin hataina. We're going to learn Masechta Shavuot in a few months, Bez Hashem, that later this year, that whatever next year, that that you have a case where Reuven says you owe me X amount of wheat, and Shimon counterclaims and says no, I owe you X amount of barley. So then he doesn't take a shvuah on it because it's called tane chitim v'hoda lo besodim. It has to be that the hodah is mimin hatayna. It has to be from the same species. Well, the Tanakhama says wine and vinegar are considered the same thing as far as that din. So if Reuven says you owe me 10 gallons of wine and Shimon says, no, I only owe you 5 gallons of vinegar, then he would have to swear a shvuah of moed b'min. So the Rashbam says that's another nafkamina as far as knowing whether wine and vinegar are the same thing. Gilyan Ashas points out that you can have a case where he says you owe me wine and vinegar, and he admits on one of them, so he's chayav shvur. So therefore, so the Rashbam could have said over here, so here the Rashbam says that he says you owe me wine and vinegar, and he admits on one of them. Really, the Rashbam should have said he says you owe me wine, and the other one says I owe you only vinegar. Anyway, the point is, Tanakhama says it's considered one min for those purposes of halacha. Rebbe omer shnei minin, and Rebbe says that it's considered two species. Well, when our Mishnah is implying that they're considered two species, because we're saying he sold them wine and instead it turned out to be vinegar, then either one could change their mind and back out of the deal. That seems to fit only according to Rebbe. The answer is afilo temer rabbanan. The answer is that no, you could say that our Mishnah goes even according to the Chachamim. Ad tamle pligi rabbanon alei de Rebbe ela in meiser or truma. You know when the Chachamim are disagreeing with Rebbe is as far as meiser and truma and other things like that. B'chidir Rabila, and the reason would be like based on what Rabila says. The Amr Rabila minayim l'todim ala ra min ara ala yafa shetrumot etruma. Now like this, when you're taking truma, you're supposed to take from the best. But what happens if you didn't? What if you took poorer quality fruit or produce or whatever and designated it truma on behalf of all of it? So Rav Ila says it would work. Shetrumot et truma. It is valid truma. There are certain cases that are described in Mishnayos Trumas and in Mishnayos Masechta Trumas where the Chachamim will say, Yachzav Yitraim, you have to take Truma again. The Chachamim are penalizing you for doing that, and they're making you take Truma out of the good stuff. But nevertheless, Midar Eiser of Ila says it would work. Shenema, because the Pasuk says to the Levium, talking about Truma Tmeiser, V'loi Sithu Olav Chet, you will not bear guilt about it, Baharimchem Eschel B'mimenu, when you lift off the good quality out of it and give it to the Kohen. So in other words, the simple meaning of the pasuk is just saying, in other words, that you, Levium, you're receiving your maaserishin, make sure that you give your trumas maaser to the kohen, because otherwise you're eating tevel and you're going to bear a sin for it. But Rav Ila is taking the pasuk to mean, because you gave the good part, therefore there's no sin involved. Now, im eine kodesh, now you have to ask, if truma or trumas maaser would be valid only when it's the best stuff. And if we were to say that if you give the less good stuff, then you're not yotze anyway, then in ain't a kodesh, if it didn't become kodesh as truma, nasiyas chet lama, then where would there be any sin to bear in the first place? You would say, on the face of it, you could only talk about him being guilty of a sin, of doing something wrong, only if it actually has an effect. So therefore, the pasuk is implying it does have an effect. So from here we learn it does work as truma. However, the pasuk is saying, nevertheless, the Levi, or the Yisrael, for that matter, who does that kind of thing, will have been committing a sin because he shouldn't do that. He shouldn't be giving the poorer quality stuff. He should realize kol chelev l'Hashem, that all the best is always supposed to go to Hashem. Tosfos elsewhere discusses a point. You have a famous sugya that in Masechta Tmura, which we'll get to in a couple of years, Be'ez Hashem, where Rava holds kol mad ovid da amar rachmana le'savid. Whenever the Torah tells us don't do something, ovid, if you did it loy mahani, then you have it. You what you did doesn't have an effect. That's going to go there works out in detail what that means. Nevertheless, the person did wrong because he was over on what the Torah says. So Tosfos elsewhere then discusses, well, then in that case, what's the Gemara asking over here? Nesias chet lama. The fact is, he did something. He tried to do something that the Torah tells him not to. Maybe in fact it's not effective, but he's being noisy chet for trying to violate what the Torah says, and Tosfos elsewhere discusses why that's not a problem with our Gemara. Where the question is not why he's bearing guilt, but why the Torah needs to mention the point about v'lo sisu all of chet. Okay, the point is, in other words, so based on that din, then yes, if you have vinegar and wine, and you took some of the vinegar and gave it as truma on behalf of the wine, you're doing something wrong, but nevertheless, it is valid truma, because they would be considered one min according to the Chachamim. According to Rebbe, it wouldn't, because they're considered two minim, but the Chachamim would say it's considered one min. Aval in Mekah Homem, Gerber, when it comes to buying and selling, continues the Gemara, the Kula Alma Ika the Nichale Bechamra, the Nichale Bechala, the Ika the Nichale Bechala, the Nichale Bechamra, everybody will agree that they're considered two minim, because the fact is, some people need wine, some people need vinegar, they're used for different purposes. And therefore, you can't say that they should be considered one min at all. And therefore, even the Chachamim would say that for Mecha Homemka, they're considered two minim. And the result would be, as we said in the Mishnah, that if the understanding was that you're buying wine and it turns out it's vinegar, then either one would be able to void the sale and have the money given back and go find someplace else to buy the right thing and to be able to sell this to somebody else. Okay. Continuing now on other dinim of Mekach HaMemka. So now we're going to talk about we learned about in Kiddushin and Bav Metzia, the dinim of Meshicha and the various forms of Kinyan that you use to buy Metaltlin. So now our Mishnah and the Gemara on it are going to talk about the various details of the dinim of Kinyanim. So the Mishnah says, "A moicher peres v'chaver." Right, person sells peres to somebody else, and the Rashbam adds that they agreed mutually on a price. Moshach v'le modad. If he did meshicha, but he didn't measure out the actual amount yet, kona, then nevertheless the kinyan is taking place. The meshicha, as the Gemara is going to explain, would be in a stimto, would be in a side street, not in Rosh Hashanah, or in a chotah that belongs to both of them. So the fact that he didn't measure out yet doesn't matter. Neither one can renege on the deal. So either we're talking about they agreed on the price, or we're talking about that there is a known price for this. So the fact that they didn't measure out how much it was, nevertheless, afterwards when we measure it out, that will be the amount that he owes him. Modad v'lei moshach, but the other way around, if he measured it but didn't yet do meshicha, loy kona, then he hasn't yet done a kinyan. Now the Gemara is going to establish that there can be a case where modad and he is kona, namely where he measures it into his own keli. But here we're talking about he measures it into a keli that belongs to the seller. And again, we're going to work out in the Gemara in exactly what cases he is and isn't kona. But the point is, even though he measured out, so we would say you know already you're getting 10 gallons, but because you didn't do meshicha yet and you didn't do any other form of kinyan, then therefore he still would be able to change his mind if he wants to. He might have to accept mishapara in some cases, but he could do that. Imhoya pikeach. Well, if the lekeach is smart and he wants the moicher to not back out of the deal, then what he does is he rents the place. Suppose that we're talking about that the sale is taking place in the reshus of the owner. So then what he would do is he would rent the spot where the merchandise is located, and that way he's koneh by kinyan chotzer, and that way he prevents the moicher from changing his mind before the deal is finalized. that Rashbam also points out, as the Gemara is going to say, we're talking about something where you can't do Hagbah because it's too large a load. So therefore, that's why we would need Mashicha. But instead, he's not ready yet to do Mashicha, but instead he does Schirut of the area, and therefore he acquires it that way. Another din, have a keach pishtan mechabera, a person buys a bundle of flax from somebody else. He's not kone it until he actually carries it from one place to another, meaning that there he needs hagbah. It's not enough to do mashicha, because again, this is something that you're able to pick up, and that's normal to pick up. So therefore, mashicha is not enough, as we've learned previously. You have to do the strongest kinyan in order to be kone something. The strongest available kinyan. On the other hand, if he bought that flax where it was still attached to the ground, the tolash kol shehu, and he pulled out even any amount of it from the ground, kona, then he's kona, and now he acquires all the flax that was part of the deal, and the other one can't back out of it. We're going to see in the Gemara on Daf Pei Zayin, right before the next Mishnah, we're going to explain how does that work, what's the mechanism that pulling out one stalk of flax should cause all of it to be acquired. We'll see about that later. So the Gemara starts off. Omer of Asi, Omer of Yechon, Modad, if they measured out into the kalim that belonged to the seller, so the seller measured out Peres into his kalim, the Hiniach Agabe Simta, and then he placed them on the ground in a Simta, in a side street, Kona, then the Kinyan has taken place. So we're talking about, in other words, the Rashbam says, we already established the price. A simta, he says, there's two possibilities. It means a private path, or it means a thing that sticks out from Rosh Hashanah, and where people sometimes will put down their loads and things like that. The Bnei Rosh Hashanah don't walk in there so much, so it's available as like a side street for people to take a break a little bit. Tosfos also adds the point that we're talking about, that the moicher is measuring it out. So here, with the fact that he measured it out and put it into the simta, that would be enough for a kinyan to take place. Even though usually we would say, as far as mashicha, we would say the lekeach is the one who has to do it. But here, the moicher measuring it out, says Rav Asi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, then the fact that he measured it out and put it on the ground in the simta would be enough. Omalei Rav Zera lo Rav Asi, but Rav Zera says to Rav Asi, does that really work? Maybe you only heard this din from Rabbi Yochanan where it's being measured into the lekeach's box, into lekeach's container, because then we could say his container is considered like his chotzer. You're just putting it in a simta. How is that supposed to work? It's not his karka. How could he be koneh like that? Omalei, so Rav Ashi answers him kind of dismissively, Domi haimer abonant kedolei gamri in shishmaita. It seems like this one of the rabbanon, meaning you sound like somebody who's never learned the sugya. Modah baser kuposim memraboy, because if it was measured out into the lekeach keli, would Rabbi Yochanan even need to make such a statement? Of course not. Of course it would be kona. So Rav Zera is arguing that when it's a container belonging to Lokeach, then fine, even in a simta, he has the ability to put his kalim over there, so therefore he could be kone. But how could he be kone without his own keli and without mashicha and without a reshus that belongs specifically to him? Or for that matter, the same thing. Rav Zera is arguing that if the keli is in Rosh Hashanah, it wouldn't work. But Rav Asi is answering back that no, of course not. If it was his own keli, then it would work even if it was in the reshus of the moicher, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. So therefore, yes, Rav Yochanan most definitely meant that even though it's the keli of the moicher, it does work as long as it's in a simta. Well, the Gemara asks, well, when Rav Asi pointed that out to Rav Zera, did Rav Zera accept that is how it is, and he retracted his previous opinion, or did he not? Did he still say that no, it doesn't seem how it could work if it's in the reshus of, if it's in the keli of the buyer in a simta, and it can only work if it's in the keli of the seller? How could it work? It can only work if it's in the keli of the buyer. So did Rav Zera accept that point? So the Gemara says, Toshma, we can prove the Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rabbi, Chatsara Shutvin, a chotzer that belongs to two partners, Konin Zemize, they're able to acquire if one of them sells something, and the same thing, we're applied to a Simta, and Rabbi Yanai is Rabbi Yechanan's Rebbe. So if Rabbi Yanai is saying this, means that Rabbi Yechanan most likely agrees to this. So chotzer of shutvin, koinin zemizeh, you're able to acquire one from the other in such a place. My lava gabe karka. Now, shouldn't we assume that Rabbi Yanai means to say even if it's on the ground, not in anybody's keli, and that would fit with Rav Asi's din. So that would fit with Rav Asi's din in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. So therefore, we would say that that Rabbi Zera must have had to accept that. Because we're saying that it's not just Rabbi Yochanan said this on his own, but Rabbi Yanai, his Rebbe, said that. And the answer is no, not necessarily. Not necessarily loy. No, because maybe Rabbi Yanai is talking about where one of them puts it into his own container, then he's koined over there, because after all, it's partially his chotzer, and then he can be koined over there. And in fact, the Gemara says, Hachinami Mistabra. In fact, it seems logical to understand Rabbi Yanai's statement that way, that we're talking about where there's a keli of the Lekeach, and it was placed into there, rather than just on the ground, the Amr Rabbi Yaakov, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Modad V'yineach HaGabes Simta Leikana. Because Rabbi Yaakov also tells us in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that if you measure it out and put it on the ground in the Simta, then you're not Kona. Now, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yanai means when you place it on the ground in the simta or the chotzer that belongs to both of them, you are kona, then you'd have a contradiction between these two statements. And you'd have a contradiction also with what Rav Asi said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that if you placed it on the ground in the simta, that you are kona. Elalav shmamina. So obviously that shows can be moded l'sech kuposay. One is talking about where he's measuring and placing it into the lekeach container, and that's when he's koina. Can be moded al gabe karka, as opposed to Rabbi Yaakov is talking about when he's measuring it and placing it on the ground in the simta, then he's not koina. Shmamina. So therefore that shows that. That Rav Asi misunderstood what he heard from Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan did in fact mean that if you place it on the ground, you're not koina. To hear Rav Asi had quoted Rabbi Yechanan to be saying that if you placed it on the simta, then you're koina. But now we're saying that would contradict what Rabbi Yaakov is reporting in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that if you place it in the simta on the ground, you're not koina. So therefore, that shows that Rav Asi misunderstood Rabbi Yechanan, and in fact, Rabbi Zera's understanding of Rabbi Yechanan is the correct one, that only if it was placed into the keli of the lake in that simta would it work, but not when it's placed on the ground in the simta. So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof against Rav Asi. In our Mishnah, we say Modad v'lay Moshach leikana. We say that they measured out the amount of the merchandise, and you didn't yet do Meshicha. Then you haven't yet accomplished a Kinyan. Now, obviously, we have to be talking about that it wasn't placed into the keli of the lekeach, because again, if it was placed into the keli of the lekeach, then of course he'd be koine. So we're talking about there's no keli. So our Mishnah itself would seem to contradict Rabbi Asi. So Mailav b'simta, shouldn't we assume that our Mishnah is talking about a simta, the kind of place which is like a chatzara shutvin, where you're able to be koine? And the answer is loy, not necessarily. The Mishnah could be talking about Rishos Rabim. The Mishnah could be talking about it's in Rishos Rabim, and that's why he's not koinah, because there, even if you place it into the Lekeach's container, you don't have the right generally to put down your containers in Rishos Rabim. Bnei Rishos Rabim are walking there all the time, and you would be getting in their way. So that's why you're not koinah. Doesn't mean that if it was in a simta, it might not be different, and maybe even it would work where you put it down on the ground. So at least the Mishnah wouldn't be a contradiction to Rav Asi. Tosfos also adds, how do you know it doesn't mean that it's in the keli of the seller? And the answer is because the Mishnah is using the word modad v'lei moshach, implies that the only thing that's going to work for the kinyan is meshicha. So we're not talking about it's in the keli of the seller. We're talking about, because then conceivably you could buy that keli as well and do agbala with it or something. But rather we're talking about that it was placed on the ground. So again, if it's in Rosh Hashanah Abim, then it wouldn't work. But if it's in a Simta, maybe it would work. So therefore, the Mishnah might work still according to Rav Asi. But the Gemara says, Yihachi Eimer Resha. Well, then in that case, if you're going to understand the Mishnah that way, look at the beginning where it says, Moshach B'lei Modad Kona, where if you did Mashicha but didn't yet measure, then you're already your Kona because the Mashicha itself accomplishes a Kenyan. You have to ask Mashicha B'Rosh Hashanah Abim Mikanya. How could Mashicha work in Rosh Hashanah Abim? But we learned this before. We learned previously that Abaya and Rava both say, Mistira, when you coin something by Mistira, where, for example, you're handing over the reins of an animal, or previously we talked about in the case of a boat, you might hand over the rope with which you pull the boat. That kind of thing can acquire even in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and it would also work even in a chotah that doesn't belong to either the buyer or the seller. On the other hand, Meshicha acquires when you're in a simta, when you're in a private path or a side street, like we said before, or in a chotah that belongs to both of them. The Hagbah, Koinah B'chol Mokim, a Kinyan Hagbah is going to work everywhere. Because, in other words, in effect, once you did Akbar and it, the Rashbam explained, then you placed it in your Rashut, because now it's in your Rashut, it's in your hands. Anyway, the point is, so obviously, therefore, Mashicha wouldn't work in Rosh Hashanah Abim, so necessarily, therefore, we can't be talking about, the Mishnah can't be talking about Rosh Hashanah Abim, it must, the Resha, at least, is clearly not talking about Rosh Hashanah Abim, therefore, we shouldn't assume the Sefer is either, we have to be talking about the Simta, and the Mishnah is implying that if you placed it on the ground, then didn't yet do Mashicha, or Hagbah, or whatever, then you're not Kona, which would contradict Rav Asi, who says that even in that case, it would work. The Gemara answer is, my moshach nami dekatoni b'shasarabim l'simta. You know what? The moshach of our Mishnah could mean that he pulled it from b'shasarabim into a simta, and there he accomplished the kinyan mashicha. So yes, they started out in b'shasarabim, but then they moved to the simta. Well, the Gemara continues, Yochi Ema Sefer. Well, if you're going to say that way, then what about the end of the Mishnah? Imhoya pikeach, we said if the buyer is smart, and he wants to avoid that the possibility that the moicher might back out of the sale at the last moment. And then he rents the spot where the payers are located. And then that way he's koinen with kinyan chotter. The Iber Shusarabim, if you're talking about that he started out in Rosh Hashanabim, Miman Ogar, who is he supposed to rent from? The Rosh Hashanabim belongs to everybody. So we have to be talking about in a chotzer of Shutvim. Or a simta, so fine. In the case of a simta, you can have that primarily the people whose mother he opens out in Ted are the ones who mostly use that area, and you could rent it from them, says Rashbam. And in the case of a chotter sheishoshnehem, then fine, you have a known defined owner that you could rent it from. But wouldn't that show that we're not talking about Rosh Hashanah at all in our Mishnah? And the answer is no. Hachikama v'imbirshus b'ilamihi. No, because the Mishnah could be talking about another case. Given that we said we started by talking about maybe in Rosh Hashanah Abim, but now switching gears, if the place is the rishus of owners, then imhaya pikeach seichus mekayim. And then if he's smart, he's going to rent the place so that he'll have a kinyan chotzer. But in other words, yes, the Mishnah might first be talking about where it's in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and then continuing with a different case. And therefore, the Mishnah doesn't openly contradict Rav Asi that even in a simta, you could be koina without doing any other kind of kinyan. So at least the Mishnah doesn't necessarily contradict Rav Asi. What Rabbi Yaakov reported in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that does contradict Rav Asi, and that shows that Rav Asi had not understood Rabbi Yechanan's statement correctly, and in fact, that would only work in that case only if you have the keli of the buyer involved, so that way he's koina via his keli. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem, and we're going to work out more of these details of when you're kona with your keli in the various rishuyos and how things work as far as kinyanim, as far as these things go.